Page 1, Chapter 1, To Live With Him Someday. Accompanying this page is a picture of a family singing hymns with the following caption. As suggested by President Kimball, the chorus of I Am a Child of God ends with the words, Teach me all that I must do to live with Him someday. The only way we can find joy, truth, and fulfillment is to live in harmony with Heavenly Father's plan. From the life of Spencer W. Kimball. Church members all over the world love the primary song, I Am a Child of God, with its simple but profound message of who we are, why we are on the earth, and what the Lord promises us if we are faithful. Sister Naomi W. Randall wrote the text to the song in 1957 when Elder Spencer W. Kimball was a member of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. At that time, the song's chorus concluded with the words, Teach me all that I must know to live with Him someday. While visiting a state conference, Elder Kimball listened to a group of primary children sing, I Am a Child of God. Soon after that, he commented on the song in a conversation with a member of the primary general board. I love the children's song, he said, but there is one word that bothers me. Would Sister Randall mind if the word know were changed to the word do? Sister Randall agreed to change the song. Now the chorus ends with the words, Teach me all that I must do to live with Him someday. These words reflect a principle that President Kimball emphasized throughout his ministry. Celestial life may be had by every soul who will fulfill the requirements. To know is not enough. One must do. Righteousness is vital, and ordinances are necessary. He taught that the gospel is a way of life, the plan of personal salvation, and is based upon personal responsibility. It is developed for man, the offspring of God. Man is a God in embryo and has in him the seeds of godhood, and he can, if he will, rise to great heights. Page 2. Teachings of Spencer W. Kimball. In our premortal life, Heavenly Father taught us His plan for our exaltation. When we were spiritual beings, fully organized and able to think and study and understand with Him, our Heavenly Father said to us, in effect, Now, my beloved children, in your spirit state you have progressed about as far as you can. To continue your development, you need physical bodies. I intend to provide a plan whereby you may continue your growth. As you know, one can grow only by overcoming. Now, said the Lord, we shall take of the elements at hand and organize them into an earth. Place thereon vegetation and animal life, and permit you to go down upon it. This will be your proving ground. We shall give you a rich earth, lavishly furnished for your benefit and enjoyment. And we shall see if you will prove true to do the things that are asked of you. I will enter into a contract with you. If you will agree to exercise control over your desires and continue to grow toward perfection and godhood by the plan which I shall provide, I will give to you a physical body of flesh and bones and a rich and productive earth with sun, water, forests, metals, soils, and all other things necessary to feed and clothe and house you and give to you every enjoyment that is proper and for your good. In addition to this, I will make it possible for you to eventually return to me as you improve your life, overcoming obstacles and approaching perfection. To the above most generous offer, we as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father responded with gratitude. The Lord clearly outlined the plan and its conditions and benefits. Agency would be given man so that he could make his own choices. Life was to be in three segments or estates, premortal, mortal, and immortal. Performance in one estate would vitally affect the succeeding estate or estates. If a person kept his first estate, he would be permitted the second or the mortal life as a further period of trial and experience. If he magnified his second estate, his earth experience, eternal life would await him. Page 3. While we lack recollection of our premortal life before coming to this earth, all of us understand definitely the purpose of our being here. We would be expected to gain knowledge, educate ourselves, train ourselves. We were to control our urges and desires, master and control our passions, and overcome our weaknesses, small and large. We were to eliminate sins of omission and of commission, and to follow the laws and commandments given us by our Father. We understand also that after a period, varying from seconds to decades of mortal life, we would die. Our bodies would go back to Mother Earth from which they had been created, and our spirits would go to the spirit world, where we would further train for our eternal destiny. After a period, there would be a resurrection, or a reunion of the body and the spirit, which would render us immortal and make possible our further climb toward perfection and godhood. This resurrection has been made available to us through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of this earth, who performed this incomparable service for us, a miracle we could not perform for ourselves. Thus the way was opened for our immortality, and if we prove worthy, eventual exaltation in God's kingdom. We understood well before we came to this vale of tears that there would be sorrows, disappointments, hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, but in spite of all, we looked down and saw this earth being made ready for us, and we said in effect, "Yes, Father, in spite of all those things, I can see great blessings that could come to me as one of thy sons or daughters. In taking a body, I can see that I will eventually become immortal like thee, that I might overcome the effects of sin and be perfected. And so I am anxious to go to the earth at the first opportunity," and so we came. Mortality is the time to prepare to meet God. We mortals who now live upon this earth are in our second estate. Our very presence here in mortal bodies attests the fact that we kept our first estate. Page 4. On the top of page 4, we have a picture of a newborn baby with the following caption. One definite purpose of our spirits coming to this earth and assuming the mortal state was to obtain a physical body. Our spirit matter was eternal and coexistent with God, but it was organized into spirit bodies by our Heavenly Father. Our spirit bodies went through a long period of growth and development and training, and having passed the test successfully, were finally admitted to this earth and to mortality. One definite purpose of our spirits coming to this earth and assuming the mortal state was to obtain a physical body. This body was to be subject to all the weaknesses, temptations, frailties, and limitations of mortality, and was to face the challenge to overcome self. You are sent to this earth not merely to have a good time or to satisfy urges or passions or desires and have what the world calls fun. You are sent to this world with a very serious purpose. You are sent to school, for that matter, to begin as a human infant and grow to unbelievable proportions in wisdom, judgment, knowledge, and power. One of the most serious human defects in all ages is procrastination, an unwillingness to accept personal responsibilities now. Men came to earth consciously to obtain their schooling, their training and development, and to perfect themselves, but many have allowed themselves to be diverted and have become addicts to mental and spiritual indolence and to the pursuit of worldly pleasure. Page 5. This mortal life is the time to prepare to meet God, which is our first responsibility. Having already obtained our bodies, which become the permanent tabernacle for our spirits through the eternities, now we are to train our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. Preeminent, then, is our using this life to perfect ourselves, to subjugate the flesh, subject the body to the spirit, to overcome all weaknesses, to govern self so that one may give leadership to others, and to perform all necessary ordinances. The gospel of Jesus Christ charts our course back to our Heavenly Father. To pinpoint a destination not previously visited, we usually consult a map. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior, has given us our map, a code of laws and commandments whereby we might attain perfection and eventually godhood. This set of laws and ordinances is known as the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is the only plan which will exalt mankind. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the sole repository of this priceless program in its fullness, which is made available to those who accept it. The Lord restored His kingdom in these days with all its gifts and powers and blessings. Any church that you know of may possibly be able to take you for a long ride and bring you some degree of peace and happiness and blessing, and they can carry you to the veil, and there they drop you. The Church of Jesus Christ picks you up on this side of the veil, and if you live its commandments, carries you right through the veil as though it weren't there and on through the eternities to exaltation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the eternal plan of salvation. It is the plan devised and announced by God the Eternal Father for the salvation of all who will believe and obey. Page 6. In order to reach the goal of eternal life and exaltation and godhood, one must be initiated into the kingdom by baptism. Properly performed, one must receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of authoritative hands. A man must be ordained to the priesthood by authorized priesthood holders. One must be endowed and sealed in the house of God by the prophet who holds the keys, or by one of those to whom the keys have been delegated. And one must live a life of righteousness, cleanliness, purity, and service. None can enter into eternal life other than by the correct door, Jesus Christ and His commandments. Jesus perfected His life and became our Christ. Priceless blood of a God was shed, and He became our Savior. His perfected life was given, and He became our Redeemer. His atonement for us made possible our return to our Heavenly Father. The great and wonderful and miraculous benefit of the Savior's atonement cannot have its full saving impact on us unless we repent. We are so grateful that our Heavenly Father has blessed us with the gospel of repentance. It is central to all that makes up the gospel plan. Repentance is the Lord's law of growth, His principle of development, and His plan for happiness. We are deeply grateful that we have this definite promise that where there has been sin and error, they can be followed by sincere and sufficient repentance that will in turn be rewarded with forgiveness. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, said the Master. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The glorious thing about the whole matter of repentance is that the Scriptures are as full of the Lord's assurances that He will forgive us as they are full of His commands for us to repent, to change our lives, and bring them into full conformity with His wonderful teachings. God is good. He is eager to forgive. He wants us to perfect ourselves and maintain control of ourselves. He does not want Satan and others to control our lives. We must learn that keeping our Heavenly Father's commandments represents the only path to total control of ourselves, the only way to find joy, truth, and fulfillment in this life and in eternity. Page 7. On the top of page 7, we have a portrait of the Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane with the following caption: Jesus perfected His life and became our Christ. His atonement for us made possible our return to our Heavenly Father. The treasure house of happiness is unlocked to those who live the gospel of Jesus Christ in its purity and simplicity. The assurance of supreme happiness, the certainty of a successful life here, and of exaltation and eternal life hereafter, come to those who plan to live their lives in complete harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then consistently follow the course they have set. Only the valiant and faithful will be exalted. If we are true and faithful, we shall rise, not alone in immortality, but unto eternal life. Immortality is to live forever in an assigned kingdom. Eternal life is to gain exaltation in the highest heaven and live in the family unit. One man said the other day the only thing he didn't like about the Mormon Church was that it claims to be the only one through which a man could be saved. I said, "Oh no, we make no such claim. We say that every good religionist and every good man who is not a religionist will be saved, but there are degrees of salvation. Those who have lived after the manner of the world shall go to a celestial kingdom, whose glory is as the stars." Page 8. Those who have been decent and upright and who have lived respectable and good lives will go to a terrestrial kingdom whose glory is as the moon. Those who have believed in Christ, who have forsaken the world, who have taken the Holy Spirit for their guide and been willing to lay their all on the altar, those who have kept the commandments of God, they shall go to a celestial kingdom whose glory is as the sun. The road of life is plainly marked according to the divine purpose. The map of the gospel of Jesus Christ is made available to the travelers. The destination of eternal life is clearly established. At that destination, our Father waits hopefully, anxious to greet His returning children. Unfortunately, many will not arrive. Why will only a few reach exaltation in the celestial kingdom? Not because it was not available to them, not because they did not know of its availability, not because the testimony was not given to them, but because they would not put forth the effort to pattern their lives and make them like the Savior's life and establish them so well that there would be no deviation until the end. There are many members of the church who are lax and careless and who continually procrastinate. They live the gospel casually but not devoutly. They have complied with some requirements but are not valiant. They do no major crime but merely fail to do the things required, things like paying tithing, living the word of wisdom, having family prayers, fasting, attending meetings, serving. The Lord will not translate one's good hopes and desires and intentions into works. Each of us must do that for himself. Only the valiant will be exalted and receive the highest degree of glory. Hence, many are called, but few are chosen. Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 40. As the Savior put it, "Strait is the gate, and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And conversely, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Page 9. It is true that many Latter-day Saints, having been baptized and confirmed members of the church, and some even having received their endowments and having been married and sealed in the Holy Temple, have felt that they were thus guaranteed the blessings of exaltation and eternal life. But this is not so. There are two basic requirements every soul must fulfill or he cannot attain to the great blessings offered. He must receive the ordinances and he must be faithful, overcoming his weaknesses. Hence, not all who claim to be Latter-day Saints will be exalted. But for those Latter-day Saints who are valiant, who fulfill the requirements faithfully and fully, the promises are glorious beyond description. "Then shall they be gods, because they have no end. Therefore shall they be from everlasting to everlasting, because they continue. Then shall they be above all, because all things are subject unto them. Then shall they be gods, because they have all power, and the angels are subject unto them." Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 20. When one realizes the vastness, the richness, the glory of that all which the Lord promises to bestow upon His faithful, it is worth all it costs in patience, faith, sacrifice, sweat, and tears. The blessings of eternity contemplated in this all bring man immortality and everlasting life, eternal growth, divine leadership, eternal increase, perfection, and with it all, Godhood. Suggestions for study and teaching. Consider these ideas as you study the chapter or as you prepare to teach. For additional help, refer to Roman numerals pages 5 through 9. Review the third paragraph on page 2 and the third full paragraph on page 3, in which President Kimball describes our premortal response to Heavenly Father's plan. Why do you think we responded that way? Review the second and third full paragraphs on page 4. What do you do to find enjoyment in life without losing sight of your serious purpose? Study President Kimball's teachings about the purposes of mortality on pages 3 through 5. Page 10. In light of these teachings, why do you think procrastination is one of the most serious human defects? How can we overcome this tendency? President Kimball taught that the gospel of Jesus Christ is like a map that leads us to exaltation. Refer to pages 5 through 7. Ponder where you are on this journey and what you can do to continue to progress. What do you think it means to be valiant in the gospel? For some examples, see pages 7 through 9 and the story on page 1. Why is church membership and knowledge of the gospel not enough to assure exaltation in the celestial kingdom? Related scriptures: James chapter 1 verse 22, Alma chapter 34 verses 30 through 41, 3 Nephi chapter 27 verses 13 through 22, Doctrine and Covenants section 76 verses 50 through 93, and Abraham chapter 3 verses 22 through 26. End of chapter 1, To Live With Him Someday. Chapter 1, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, Scriptures Relating to Chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Alma chapter 34, verses 30 through 41. 30. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, ye come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. 31. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. 32. For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. 33. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed. 34. Ye cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. 35. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. 36. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, He dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. Yea, and he has also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. 37. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, and that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ. 38. That ye contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye receive it and take upon you the name of Christ, that ye humble yourselves even to the dust and worship God, in whatsoever place ye may be in spirit and in truth, and that ye live in thanksgiving daily for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. 39. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away to the temptations of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subject at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. 40. And now, my beloved brethren, I would exhort you to have patience, and that ye bear with all manner of afflictions, that ye do not revile against those who do cast you out because of your exceeding poverty, lest ye become sinners like unto them. 41. But that ye have patience and bear with those afflictions, with a firm hope that ye shall one day rest from all your afflictions. 3 Nephi chapter 27, verses 13 through 22. 13. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. 14. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, that I might draw all men unto me, that as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good, or whether they be evil. 15. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. 16. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. 17. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same as he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. 18. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of man, and for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words. 19. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, and the repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. 20. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. 21. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. 22. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Doctrine and Covenants, section 76, verses 50 through 93. 50. And again we bear record, for we saw and heard, and this is the testimony of the gospel of Christ concerning them who shall come forth in the resurrection of the just. 51. They are they who received the testimony of Jesus, and believed on his name, and were baptized after the manner of his burial, being buried in the water in his name, and this according to the commandment which he has given. 52. That by keeping the commandments they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins, and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of the hands of him who was ordained and sealed unto this power. 53. And who overcome by faith and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true. 54. They are they who are the church of the firstborn. 55. They are they into whose hands the Father has given all things. 56. They are they who are priests and kings, who have received of his fullness and of his glory. 57. And are priests of the Most High, after the order of Melchizedek, which was after the order of Enoch, which was after the order of the only begotten Son. 58. Wherefore, as it is written, they are gods, even the sons of God. 59. Wherefore all things are theirs, whether life or death, or things present, or things to come, all are theirs, and they are Christ's, and Christ is God's. 60. And they shall overcome all things. 61. Wherefore let no man glory in man, but rather let him glory in God, who shall subdue all enemies under his feet. 62. These shall dwell in the presence of God and his Christ forever and ever. 63. These are they whom he shall bring with him, when he shall come in the clouds of heaven to reign on the earth over his people. 64. These are they who shall have part in the first resurrection. 65. These are they who shall come forth in the resurrection of the just. 66. These are they who are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly place, the holiest of all. 67. These are they who have come to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of Enoch, and of the firstborn. 68. These are they whose names are written in heaven, where God and Christ are the judge of all. 69. These are they who are just men made perfect through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, who wrought out this perfect atonement through the shedding of his own blood. 70. These are they whose bodies are celestial, whose glory is that of the Son, even the glory of God, the highest of all, whose glory the Son of the firmament is written of as being typical. 71. And again we saw the terrestrial world, and behold, and lo, these are they who are of the terrestrial, whose glory differs from that of the church of the firstborn, who have received the fullness of the Father, even as that of the moon differs from the sun in the firmament. 72. Behold, these are they who died without law. 73. And also they who are the spirits of men kept in prison, whom the Son visited, and preached the gospel unto them, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh. 74. Who received not the testimony of Jesus in the flesh, but afterwards received it. 75. These are they who are honorable men of the earth, who were blinded by the craftiness of men. 76. These are they who receive of his glory, but not of his fullness. 77. These are they who receive of the presence of the Son, but not of the fullness of the Father. 78. Therefore they are bodies terrestrial and not bodies celestial, and differ in glory as the moon differs from the sun. 79. These are they who are not valiant in the testimony of Jesus, wherefore they obtain not the crown over the kingdom of our God. 80. And now this is the end of the vision which we saw of the terrestrial, that the Lord commanded us to write while we were yet in the Spirit. 81. And again we saw the glory of the telestial, which glory is that of the lesser, even as the glory of the stars differ from that of the glory of the moon in the firmament. 82. These are they who receive not the gospel of Christ, neither the testimony of Jesus. 83. These are they who deny not the Holy Spirit. 84. These are they who are thrust down to hell. 85. These are they who shall not be redeemed from the devil until the last resurrection, until the Lord, even Christ the Lamb, shall have finished his work. 86. These are they who receive not of his fullness in the eternal world, but of the Holy Spirit through the ministration of the terrestrial. 87. And the terrestrial through the ministration of the celestial. 88. And also the telestial receive it of the administering of angels who are appointed to minister for them, who are appointed to be ministering spirits for them, for they shall be heirs of salvation. 89. And thus we saw in the heavenly vision the glory of the telestial, which surpasses all understanding. 90. And no man knows it except him to whom God has revealed it. 91. And thus we saw the glory of the terrestrial, which excels in all things the glory of the telestial, even in glory and in power and in might and in dominion. 92. And thus we saw the glory of the celestial, which excels in all things, where God, even the Father, reigns upon his throne forever and ever. 93. Before whose throne all things bow in humble reverence, and give him glory forever and ever. Abraham chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. 22. Now the Lord had shown unto me Abraham the intelligences that were organized before the world was, and among all these were many of the noble and great ones. 23. And God saw these souls that they were good, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, These I will make my rulers. For he stood among those that were spirits, and he saw that they were good, and he said unto me, Abraham, thou art one of them. Thou wast chosen before thou wast born. 24. And there stood one among them that was like unto God, and he said unto those who were with him, We will go down, for there is space there, and we will take of these materials, and we will make an earth whereon these may dwell. 25. And we will prove them herewith to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them. 26. And they who keep their first estate shall be added upon, and they who keep not their first estate shall not have glory in the same kingdom with those who keep their first estate, and they who keep their second estate shall have glory added upon their heads forever and ever. End of the section, Scriptures Relating to Chapter 1, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball.